Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Keon and Tyler.
Podcast. My name is Keon.
And I'm Tyler.
And we are your podcast personal trainers. You have just found the source for the truth in health and fitness.
Get it on.
Hardcore. Today we are talking about this week in fitness. We're going over some of the most popular trends and some of the things that have come up in magazines, online, and wherever else we find interesting fitness articles and topics to talk to you about.
These are things that you can, while at the gym, while maybe conversationally, that's a fun word, that's not real.
Good job, Tyler.
Talking to somebody on a treadmill, you can bring up these random hot topics easily, and just kind of a fun thing that isn't just so, it's cold outside, how's
right.
the weather?
Plus, it's all, I think these are questions that I have had when I first started, and that are an ongoing debate in certain circles. So
yes,
we're gonna get to that. I think right now, let's hit it.
Let's go.
Do you want to start with yours?
Let's start with yours.
Okay, because what I did, I haven't bought a fitness magazine in a very long time.
And I see there's one right here in front of us.
Yes, I was buying some things and this one just popped out to me. So it's Fitness RX, and most of the stuff they talk about in here, from what I've seen, is about supplements, the RX portion of it.
Yes.
So they have this little section. It's called Training RX Research. So all it is little blurbs about research studies that were done.
Okay.
So this one is I found kind of entertaining. It says multiple sets best for beginning weight trainers. And the whole, it's literally two paragraphs, but what it pretty much goes on to say is that the previous research has shown that multiple sets don't really matter for beginning weight lifters, right? But all the critics of this said that the multiple sets would be better for beginners if people trained harder. I was thinking to myself, let's think about this for about 12 seconds. And that's what the study showed. If like they grabbed some untrained college-age men and found that multiple sets produced greater strength gains than single sets. And they were really well supervised.
Okay, so hold on. So just so that I'm on the same page as you, because uh-huh. I have not... How we do this is I don't read the articles that Keon brings in, and he doesn't read the ones that I bring in. For the most part, we've yet to read the same article
right.
and play that game of who gets to choose to be the leader on it.
Right.
So they're doing a study on if I... Like, not I, because I am not a beginner,
uh-huh.
but a person goes in and does just one set of
whatever
10 exercises or whatnot.
The exercises they used for this study were knee extensions and elbow flexions, bicep curls, on a resistance machine. That's an isotonic dynamometer.
Okay, so they did two exercises.
Uh-huh.
So you could either do it once,
uh-huh.
the bicep curl, and then the squat, basically.
Knee extension.
Knee extension, so leg, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, leg extension.
That one time through, or you could
do it
three times through.
Right, and they found that the people who did it three times through during a six-week training period got more results. It's better strength, increased hypertrophy. But, okay, regardless of the study, the whole thing, like, that got me about this, critics say these studies were poorly supervised and that multiple sets would be superior if people trained hard. To me, that's like a no shit.
I feel like somebody wasted a whole lot of money.
Right, because it's like, obviously, if you train harder and increase the intensity, you're going to get better results.
Oh, yeah, and it's also kind of a practice makes perfect, and didn't we figure that out 100 years ago?
Right.
So, yes, doing it more, even if it was, I'd almost say even if you weren't doing it as hard, doing it more,
well,
you're still going to gain.
But older studies showed that one set was just as effective as three.
Oh, okay.
So that's why this one came in, because they were testing the training hard theory. And it still cracks me up. It's like,
and what would they consider training hard? Were they doing it fast at a lighter weight, or were they doing it more...
I think it just increases the intensity, regardless. It could either be fast at a lighter
or
weight, or or slower
at a heavier weight,
8 to 12 repetitions. If you want to read the paper, it's presented. It was presented at the ACSM, the American College of Sports Medicine, May 28th, 2009.
That's entertaining. So basically, it's telling you that you should do 3 sets of everything.
Right, for beginning weight trainers, do 8 to 12 with 3 sets.
Okay,
but don't do leg extensions because that will blow your knee out,
yeah.
And I will punch you in the face personally.
Yeah.
That crap hurts.
So it's article number 2.
Article number 2. This one struck a personal chord with me because part of the research is complete bullcrap.
I see abdominal in it, so I have a feeling that Pilates might come into this.
Yeah, way to go, Tyler. I'm going to read the whole article, or the whole thing.
You can call me Sherlock Holmes over here.
Yeah. Oh, Watson, you're awesome.
Aw. Mm. Elementary, my dear.
All right. So the title is Abdominal Crunches Activate Core Muscles Better Than Planks. So plank, which is one of my personal favorite exercises, elbows and toes, and you hold that for as long as you can, drawing in with your transverse abdominis, so sucking your belly in, pretty much. And a crunch is just a crunch.
Everybody knows what a crunch is.
Right. So, it reads, core muscle development is central to keeping fit and serves as the foundation for peak performance in almost all sports. Many personal trainers de-emphasize traditional abdominal exercises, such as crunches, in favor of Pilates exercises, such as planks. Let's stop there. The plank, while being a great exercise, is not a traditional Pilates exercise.
I was about to say that. I didn't think that it
right.
was.
So let's just, right there, demystify that. That is not true. Anthony something-something and co-investigators from Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina, found that crunches activated the rectus abdominis, that's your six-pack, and the external obliques, your twisting muscles, 20% greater than planks. They measured muscle activation using electromyography. Crunches build core muscles better, muscle strength better than planks. So, I have 2 questions about this one. 1, who were they testing? Was it a trained athlete, an untrained athlete? Was it male, female, blah, blah, blah? All that. Because that would affect it. You know? Like, an untrained person, I think a crunch would probably, you know, be active more. But a trained person, a plank would probably be a better, you know, activation of those muscles.
Okay.
So, I just found a lot, I don't know, it was kind of silly that, because you can't test the activation of your deep core muscles because you can't put a little pad on it. So that I found, you know, dubious, because that's really what the plank does. It works on postural muscles as well. It's not just the rectus abdominis and the obliques. You're working on your shoulders, your back, you know, your
glutes. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
Right.
And the funny thing, not really funny, but interesting, is that, I mean, you listening to this podcast right now could do your own study on this. Go and get a stopwatch, do as many crunches as you can in 30 seconds, then the next day, so you're not sore from that, like, uh-huh. Remember how you felt, then do 30 seconds on a plank.
Right.
Which one was harder?
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, the plank is harder.
The plank is much more difficult because you're working your shoulders, your toe, and it's just a great exercise. I think a lot of people also take the mentality of either or. Like, you have to do one or the other. You can't take both. And that's crap. You can do crunches and then do a plank, or do a plank then crunches, and ta-da, you haven't wasted more than a minute of your time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a silly study.
It's a silly study. It's really interesting because all fitness and health is pretty new.
Uh-huh.
In, you know, the realm of time. That it's just funny what they decide to go after first.
My favorite, there was I was working at the high school. I was interning at with the football boys, and the coach there, Jim, he said, "Keon, come read this study." I'm like, "All right, what's up?" And what it read, it was awesome. The study was testing whether or not the compliance rate with a exercise program was greater via email or paper. So which one are you going to get greater results with? If I email you the program or if I hand you the program?
I would say handed.
It was exactly the same.
Oh, really?
There was no difference. It's like, are you stupid? Like, come on. Like, if I'm part of a study, I'm going to do it regardless. Like, you typically people who enter into a study are fairly motivated people. So
that's funny. Like, but I would just say paper because they then physically have it and they can take it with them. But
right.
Emails,
but
you can print out and move on.
So stupid. It's like, really? You wasted, like... There are so many awesomer things you could research.
Awesomer. Great word. I love it.
I could have said more awesome, but I was working on the economy of my words.
Tyler-isms. Awesomer.
I'm going to look that up. Awesomer. That's a word.
Oh, so good.
So, let's lead in the year.
Okay. So, Keon.
Yes, Tyler.
What would you classify as a valid reason for a child to get taken away from their parents due to child protection?
Jeez.
I know. It's kind of a deep question.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, if there's physical abuse, mental abuse, the child isn't able to, like, flourish, you know, all the things that a child should have. You know, a child should be able to free to play, free to learn, free to, you know, and then have food. Like, after you get those three things, I think.
Just the basics.
Basics, yeah. You know, and if there's any abuse going on, that should be a red flag.
Okay. What would you consider abuse? Physical? Like, there's actual, like, beating somebody, physical, then there's sexual.
Mental. And then there's, like, the borderline abuse. Like, making your child, like, I almost want to say, like, the gymnastic moms are almost abusing their children.
Because, like, the
because they're forcing Tara
moms kind of thing?
Yeah, like, like, the Shawn Johnson moms. Like, Shawn Johnson has known nothing but gymnastics for her entire life. That's almost abusing your child. Like, yes, she won medals in the Olympics, but...
And I think that that's a... That, the gray zone of that is debatable.
Yes.
Because, hey, they accomplished something. Yeah, did they have fun while doing it? That one I have a little bit harder of a concept with.
Right. But then there's, I don't know if you're going to lead into this, but there's this guy who trained his son since he was like three months old, like lifting weights. And that could be considered abuse as well.
Yeah. So you and I are on the same page. Good. There is a mother in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, the fine Orlando.
Orlando, Florida. That has a 13-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
That needs to take medication.
Okay.
And for some reason or another, she cannot get her son to take this medication.
Okay. What's the issue?
I'm going to get into that issue.
So I'll
due to not taking the medication,
uh-huh.
He now has high blood pressure and diabetes.
Okay? I don't believe that.
So they are questioning if they should take this 13-year-old boy away from the mother and put him into a foster home.
What?
This 13-year-old boy
mm-hmm.
weighs 400 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And they are claiming that it is child abuse, that he is 400 pounds, and that the mom has, in a year, not made him lose any weight or take the medication because he doesn't want to take the medication, and she can't force him to. And all this fun stuff of,
wow.
I get angry with parents, and this is why... At times, I feel like Al-Qaeda should win.
Yeah, this is kind of why I agree. You know, it's like, this is what, like, the rest of the world hates us for.
Yeah.
Is that we have people that are 400 pounds.
A 13-year-old.
Right.
That is 400 pounds. Then, at the very end, I'll tell you of another story that this happened, and they actually took the kid into foster home.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I
have questions.
Okay. I have
answers. How did he get, I mean, like, what condition does he have that caused him to get to be 400? Does he have anything?
In the article, in the newspaper article, it doesn't really specify that he has a quote-unquote thyroid problem.
Okay,
or
so this is purely
the way I took it was this kid purely just drinks Coke like it's going out of business, has a Big Mac every day, like
every hour on the hour.
One of those things where the mom does not say no to him.
Got it.
Kind of a
damn
thing.
Damn it. Like, seriously, that sucks. Like,
so would you
constitute
that?
That is the worst parenting I've ever seen. That is almost more damaging than beating your kid, in my mind. Because a spanking, like, you got spanked as a child. I didn't. Okay. My parents did not believe in corporal punishment.
I got spanked.
Right.
A lot.
A spanking, I mean, under today's, like, kind of wimpy standards is almost like beating your child, right? Like, you could almost get taken away. Your child could get taken away from spanking your
way
child.
Way too big of a gray zone.
Whatever.
My personal belief is that's way too big of a gray zone. Some people are like, oh, you should never lay a hand on your kid.
Right. Regardless, it's like letting your child, like, get to be at 13, over 220 pounds is, like, if they're a tall child.
Oh, when, go on to truefitnessacademy.com and you'll see the link. There's a picture of the kid.
Oh, hey there.
He looks ginormous. And it's like, he looks like he's 20-something, it's like, besides his face.
It's like, come on, like, you are the parent. You control what, like, happens in your household. So if the child, like, leaves the house and gets McDonald's, that's another story. But if you go buy the child the Burger King, the McDonald's, the crappy food, you load up on this, so, that is your fault. And yes, take that child away.
Okay, so here, they don't go into it a whole lot in the article. It's more of just a, this is out there that this kid could go into, foster care due to it. What if she was a single mother?
Uh-huh.
Worked 60 hours a week and just gave her kid an allowance, and he now is, she, you know, you can teach a kid for so long,
right?
Hey, these are the options that are good, but right. When you can't physically force, like, you're not there buying each, I understand that it's hard times in America and people need to work extra hours, and yeah, you give a kid $10 every day. You walk to school, you buy your lunch at school,
right,
and stuff like that.
Here's what I would do. Okay. I would buy the child grocery store gift cards.
And there's nothing at the grocery store that you can't eat that's bad for you?
I think you can put limits on what you can purchase with those. Like, it's almost like a food stamp style thing. I'm not 100%. But then you pretty much force him to only be able to purchase X, Y, and Z from the grocery store.
And I think that that's a reasonable, but there's ways.
Oh, absolutely. There's ways around it. But
and a kid that is 400, even a kid that's 2-something that doesn't care is going to find a way to get his candy bar if he wants it.
Right. Absolutely. I'm for sure.
So, because when I read it, I almost took it to a, are you then going to take, because to me, it's not so much of a abuse. I do consider it abuse. To some extent, but it's also this kid has a lack of education.
Absolutely.
And I fully agree that the lack of education comes from the parentals in this situation, but I also do, just my own personal belief is that the school should also be teaching aspects of this.
100%, because our PE, we've talked about this, we should a joke.
Yeah, I think PE should take a lot more responsibility in that kind of a sense and not just be quote-unquote playtime.
Yeah, PE is, I mean, well, I like playtime, but... What pisses me off is that it's changing for 10 to 15 minutes, roll for 20 minutes, and you have 10 minutes to do something physical, and then you have 10 minutes to go back and
then
change.
Then it's back to do everything else.
Exactly. It's like, really? That's PE?
So, but my question as I was reading this was just like, would you take away a kid that wasn't smart from their parents?
Mm.
Because that's where I feel that the main problem of this situation is a lack of education.
Right.
So, theoretically, if you fail a grade...
Yeah, should you be taken
should
away?
Should you be... Okay. Because it's the parents, I personally believe, and this is kind of where the article was kind of going, I felt, that if it is the parents' job to, if the kid is not doing well in school, to take responsibility of their child,
right,
and keep teaching them, keep helping them.
Absolutely.
If that means that you have to pay for tutors, go for it. If that means
you can teach a child, like, come on.
I've been a tutor, and
that's a joke.
I'll be honest with you, it's the biggest joke in the world.
Like,
it's a con. I'll be the first to admit you. I watched the kids do their homework, and I would answer random questions that their parents, if they would have taken 2 seconds to read the chapter, could have figured out.
Right, skim the chapter, not even read the chapter.
So. The parents could take the extra 5 minutes and help their kids out. So that was kind of what I found was interesting. Right. It's like, would you take a kid that's failing away from their parents?
No. Now I understand. But the child that's failing isn't directly affecting... I guess it is directly affecting the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But, like, this kid could die in the next 2 years.
No,
like, legitimately dead.
Oh, yeah.
Done. So here's my solution. Put him in a room with a rope going towards the ceiling, you know, like a climbing rope, with vegetables. And that's all. Until he can ring the bell at the top of the top of the rope, the child will not get anything else but vegetables.
See, because no, this is vegetables funny because Keon and I have had this debate that we personally believe that I like to call it the pussification of America started when they got rid of the rope in gym class.
This, and this is not our own idea. I will not take credit for it. But yeah. You take the rope away. It was, I think I had to try and climb
dodgeball.
Dodgeball. I had to try and climb the rope once freshman year. That was it. And it was optional.
Once they got rid of the rope and dodgeball, I just feel that the pussification of men and
And women. Like, you know what? Like, women have stopped acting like ladies.
It's weird.
Everyone's like exploded. You know, it's like this is a deeply cultural question. Like, this child not caring about anything but just eating whatever the hell he wants and playing Xbox 360 until his mind is goo and can be sucked out by aliens I almost want to say, like, this might sound terrible, but let the child do what he wants. Like, survival of the fittest, you know? Like, if he doesn't want to, let him, like, seriously, if he doesn't want to fix himself, because he's at the point where he's developing his personality, right? And he's at the point, he's like, I've decided I don't want this.
Yeah.
All right, you don't want that. You don't want to live beyond, you know, this certain, it's like slow suicide almost, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and you were bringing up culture. I'm just going to play this fun game because you're quote-unquote a minority and I can't get away with these answers. Right. What race do you think this kid is?
I'm not going to answer that question. Based on science, because the standard American diet affects two minority groups worse than any other. The Hispanic culture is affected much worse than the Caucasian group, and African Americans and Africans are affected. So that would probably be my two choices. Those two minority groups. Based on science, because those two
would it help you if I told you his last name was Lewis?
Oh. Tyler, you're kind of a dick right now. Just so you know, you're kind of being a dick.
But yeah, I was reading this article, and I kind of felt bad for him, because in a sense, I feel like he doesn't know what he was getting, like, he wasn't taught, and he's been conformed to the media and just kind of that sense,
right?
Which I don't buy. But because it's like, I'm a huge, hey, take responsibility,
right?
Nobody, like, we had a discussion last night about relationships and people and relationships and how they act. You always control 51%, I feel, of a relationship, minus actual, like,
yeah, but I mean, they're like societal, like there are social constraints. Like, if you only know this, then you, like, if my only options are what I've been shown, like, I only have X, Y, and Z options, but there's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, like, there are 26 options, but I've only been shown 3. So I therefore don't have 51% control.
True.
Because I haven't been given all my options. And that's why I feel like this child has not been
given every
all
option.
His options.
But, and this is probably the part of this article that was the most, like, really, was that the mom can't get him to take the medicine. I would be forcing the crap out of my kid.
Yeah, but you said you told me 60 hours a week, single mom. Was that hypothetical?
That was hypothetical.
Oh.
It's like, and even in that, it's like, I know that schools, you can get them to give medicine to kids. Like, you can write that they, every day at 1 o'clock, like 5 minutes before lunch, have to come and take their pills.
Right.
And that kind of things.
But
so,
like, what blows my mind is, why does this child not want to live? Like, that's, I mean, like,
yeah, I don't
like
get
you
that
can
concept.
See the progression. Like, you know that you're overweight. You know that if you don't take this pill, your heart is going to explode. Why do you not want to?
I can tell you right now, because what happened was is that a year ago, this all started, and then they were supposed to go in for another doctor's appointment, and he now has diabetes. He now has high blood pressure and all this stuff. That's where this really got into an effect of should we be take? Because now there's actual physical harm happening to this kid.
Right.
And actually, just recently in South Carolina, a 14-year-old boy. Uh-huh. Once again, find it interesting that's only boys. Like, a lot of the times, like, it just seems to be boys.
Right. Well, we have a higher degree of
yeah, I understand that, but it's just...
Yeah.
That I would maybe throw a girl in there sporadically, I would think. Kind of a concept. But, a 14-year-old boy got thrown into foster care for the exact same reason.
Okay,
guess how much he weighed.
478.
555 pounds.
Wow.
As a 14-year-old.
Wow. Here's my issue. If we're setting that precedent, now it's our, like, you and I are pretty much fundamentally taking care of this child.
Yeah, and that's now why we get into the health care and all that.
Yeah, which we're not going to talk about. But I have an issue with me paying for people being overweight, because I, as a child, was not thin.
Yeah.
And I fixed my stuff. You know, I did
and
it.
And I think, like, it's just a lack of education.
It is.
And
that's it's a fundamental lack of education. Comes
into it.
Yes.
But no, so I thought that was, as I was reading this article, I was just like, wow, there's so many topics of this. It's like,
yeah.
Do you get angry at the mom? I think so a little bit. Do you get angry at the school system? A little bit. But
I get, I mean, if he's buying his school lunches there, yes. Because
there's so many weird variables that you can start being like, you should take responsibility, you should take responsibility. I do find that it's still the parents' majority of it is their fault.
Yeah.
And if that means that they can't handle the kid, then yeah, I guess it does go.
A lot of people have children without understanding the responsibilities. Like, I have no plans to have a child within the next, you know, X amount of years. Mom, shut up. my mom wants me to get married and have babies, like, tomorrow. But, like, I understand, like, there's a chance that my child might be autistic. There's a chance my child might have, you know, a physical disability. Yeah. Like, there's a chance that blah, blah, blah. I understand
these
chances.
You go knowing in that there's these options.
Right. I understand that, like, I've seen parents struggle. I know it's going to be hard and there are things I can't prepare for going into having a child. So, knowing that, I'm going to have extra time set out, carved away, so I can deal with these issues.
If need be.
If need be. And, like, you know, I don't know. So, like, it's just, don't. Like, a lot of people use a child as an excuse or as a fix, like, oh, the child's going to bring love into our lives. No. It's going to make your lives, like, eight times harder.
And as I was thinking about it, it's just like, okay, so if you have a kid, don't watch your Flavor of Love help him with his homework.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, if you took just one more hour instead of sitting there watching, I mean, I know people that every night watch TMZ and entertainment news. You can go online and read everything that they're going to talk about in the hour in 5 minutes.
Right.
And then you can help your kid out for the other 55.
Exactly. It's like, take a little bit of responsibility. Don't buy into the crap that you're being fed as far as entertainment news goes. Or you work with your child, TiVo it or whatever, and then fast forward through the commercials so you can watch your crappy show.
Yeah, it's just, and this is kind of my new fight for life, is just people taking responsibility for anything.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely. So. I don't know.
And that, I mean, that goes into the weight loss. It's like, we understand that you could be fat.
Right.
Take responsibility for it.
And move on.
Move on. Okay, it happened. Let's knock it out of the park and let's get rid of it.
Right.
So you got one more article or something like that?
This kind of relates to it. Just so you know, we're now over 0.25% obese in the United States.
A quarter.
Yeah. 2007, 2.5 or 25.6% of people were obese. Now it's 26.1% of the United States is obese. The prime candidates or prime culprits of this are Mississippi and Alabama. Those are the fattest states in the United States.
Huh.
Yep. And probably the fattest states in the entire world.
See, because I was...
And so it's like... Nah.
No, it's so fascinating because it just says obese. Does that also include morbidly? Because theoretically, you and I consist of obese.
No, we're overweight.
Oh, we're overweight?
We're considered overweight. Because they use the BMI.
Yeah.
So
everybody uses the BMI. So I always question those stats.
30%, let's see. Five states in the South have obese. So, yeah, it's obese or greater.
Obese or greater. So, 25%. Because I know that there's, like, over 50% of the world, of the United States, is overweight.
Right.
And so that was something I found really entertaining, is that I knew, like, there was an article I read 3 or 4 years ago that said that by the year 2012,
the world is going to end. Well, December 21st, 2012.
Besides that, but the world, like the United States, with the rate of we're going with obesity and overweightness, 100% of the United States will be obese. And I was like, there's no way that could happen because we have the army.
We have the army, and then
we have a police force. We have firemen. That they are overweight. Yeah, questionable. But you know, it's like we have. There's no way that it can be 100%. Exactly. We have professional football teams. We have basketball teams.
Professional football players, I think, are considered obese because their muscle.
But it was just kind of that concept sensitive. Where I was like, visually, 100% of us cannot be overweight.
Exactly.
Like, theoretically, with the BMI, I guess.
Right.
You could, but it was just kind of like, really, let's think about this for 10 seconds. There's no way that 100% of us are going to be obese or overweight kind of thing. Because you also still have those people that can eat a Big Mac every day and still look like my pinky.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that about wraps it up for this week in fitness.
Week in fitness!
If you guys have any questions, email us at podcast@truefitnessacademy.com. Go check out the website if you want to see our little boy who now weighs 8 billion pounds.
Give or take 7.6 billion. No, he's 400.
7.994.
Yeah, he's 400 pounds. Hopefully you'll have a great week, and we will chat it up with you tomorrow.
Peace.